This is KVNF's regional newscast for Monday, April 26th. I'm Gavin Dahl. By 2023, police officers across Colorado must be outfitted with body cameras. The mandate was written into last year's policing legislation, SB 20217, which passed amid local and nationwide protests over police killings of Black people. That bill, which also required the prompt release of body camera footage, did not fund implementation of the mandate for local departments. Major law enforcement associations in Colorado put out a letter in February to lawmakers saying they believe in the use of the cameras, but that a survey of chiefs and sheriffs showed 56% didn't have the money to comply. The Denver Post reports the cost of outfitting a single officer with a body camera can vary from $500 to $1,000 per year. GOP State Senator John Cook of Weld County has proposed an amendment to this year's budget bill, increasing funding for police departments to comply with the body cam mandate. Democrat Representative Leslie Herod, a lead sponsor of the bill passed last year, serves on the budget committee as well. She does not believe police departments need the extra money Cook is calling for. The state budget has passed both chambers, but before it goes to the governor, later this week, the budget committee is considering amendments, including Senator Cook's extra body camera money. The Ridgeway Area Chamber of Commerce welcomed David Nunn as new member of the board of directors at its April meeting. Nunn is a longtime marketing and sales professional and is well known in Western Colorado for his solo guitar performances. In a press release, the chamber describes itself as promoting business and community growth and development in the town of Ridgeway and the surrounding area by managing the town's website, marketing local businesses, and operating the Ridgeway Visitors Center. The chamber also helped coordinate the career fair at the secondary school covered here on KVNF this month. The deadly intersection at Chipeta and Highway 550 in Montrose will finally be made safer by a new traffic light, but that could be 2 years out. A recent traffic study gave Montrose County and the city a prorated traffic volume estimate. The Montrose Press reports based on that, the county will pay 60% of costs and the city 40% for the $2 million project. The next step is for the city and county to collaborate on a request for proposals for design. The RFP should be released in June and the design contract awarded by August. The preliminary design would be done by the end of this year. Then next year, they will have the final design and seek CDOT review. The traffic light is expected to be done by May of 2023. A two-year pilot program involving five families in Montrose County seeks to address homeless youth and housing instability. Housing Resources of Western Colorado is partnering with the school district and Hilltop Community Inc. to administer the pilot program. In a press release, the services are described as counseling and coaching for parents on basic needs. They help families set goals for employment, parenting, finances, health, food security, and stable child care. The Montrose School District has identified over 200 children as homeless. Across the Mountain West, many states have high numbers of people experiencing homelessness per capita. Colorado is at the top, and next is Nevada. Sprinkled throughout our region are hundreds of unsheltered youth. The Mountain West News Bureau's Stephanie Serrano checks in with one shelter in southern Colorado to see how they've fared the past year.
In Colorado Springs, the place has 20 beds for young people between the ages of 15 and 20 who are experiencing homelessness. Every morning, the youth meet with Karen Henschel. She's an education and employment case manager.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for being on time.
Usually, they set an intention by choosing a word to follow for the day and talk through short-term goals. But on this particular day, they were talking about something that's on everyone's mind.
Hey, Connie, you're gonna go get vaccinated. How do you guys feel about that?
No. As long as it's free.
Yes.
When the COVID-19 pandemic began, the place changed their normal procedures and opened its doors 24/7. Shauna Kempinen is the executive director. She says early on in the pandemic, the outreach team had trouble finding youth.
Many of them didn't come out to the normal places where we could usually connect with them. Let's say, for example, the library or the parks, because there were so many things closed that youth didn't have a reason to come out.
This forced the team to look in different areas, like encampments. In normal times, they wouldn't try to reach people in tent communities.
If a young person or any person is staying outside in a tent, that is their home. We might not think of it as a home, but for them, it is their home. And so we tended to not go up to a tent and yell, right? I mean, that would scare me if someone came to my window and just started yelling at me.
They knew the kids were out there and had to find them. But just in recent weeks, as case numbers have gone down, they've gone back to their pre-pandemic model.
All right, so you guys have any questions, comments, concerns for me?
No.
No.
Everyone heads out after the morning meeting. Coming back for lunch is optional, but in order to secure a bed for the night, being back by 5:15 is mandatory.
Unless you have a job. Like, if it's an essential thing, then you can stay out.
That's Hunter Locklear. Shortly after celebrating his 19th birthday in January, he found himself sleeping in the streets.
So you left home only a few months ago?
About a month and a half, mid-February.
And you felt like that was the best decision for you?
Yeah.
Do you want to share why?
Not really.
When he was living on the streets, the pandemic was the last thing on his mind.
I was constantly worried about where I was going to put my stuff. Like, you know, where I was going to put my head down for the night.
What Hunter was truly worried about was making sure his valuables didn't get stolen, like his video games. See, Hunter is a gamer. They're his escape.
I like how it's like a different place to be, you know? Like, you don't have to go anywhere to have a new experience. You can just have it in your hand.
During the start of the pandemic, many youth had a hard time finding resources and shelters. And to make matters worse, some also lost their jobs. These days, though, many young people are getting financial help from the federal government. That's right, stimulus checks from the CARES Act. Hunter is now getting his stimulus checks loaded on a prepaid MasterCard. Thanks to this process, Hunter now has a bank account. Still, he hates the fact that people tend to stereotype homeless people as lazy and looking for handouts. In fact, Hunter just got hired to work at Wendy's. He's stoked.
Like, I'm new, so I still haven't learned how to do everything, but I know how to use the fryer, I know how to use the grill, I make the bacon, I'm learning how to make the sandwiches.
Karen, the case manager at the place, takes me back to a recent encounter at the courthouse. She takes a deep breath before sharing.
I heard a police officer say something about how they're unmotivated and lazy. And it's like, that it's not about them being not motivated. It's about them not having the foundation and the skills and know that they deserve all the dignity and worth that everybody else has. And that's what we're here for.
Karen was a single mom and raised three girls. She says she knows what it's like to need help raising children, and she says it takes an entire community to support these youth. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Stephanie Serrano.
A new report published by the Human Rights Campaign shows that LGBTQ youth have a 120% higher risk of homelessness compared to youth who identify cisgender and straight. That does it for Monday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.